Hey everybody, it's Humphreys. Welcome to the Fladdy Longer podcast. We hope by the end of this presentation, you'll be encouraged to take your next right step in your walk with Jesus. Enjoy. Her shame was so real that she cannot believe what she's done. She looks around and she sees the faces of her neighbors. She looks around and she sees her uncle watching, and she has helped her kids before. She looks around and she sees the people that she has helped before, the people, the friends she has made in the markets. In fact, her very own pastor, whom she has saved alongside, is standing right there in the crowd. But today, not her pastor, not even her friendly neighbor, not even her uncle or the friends she has made in the markets are actually smiling or laughing with her. Today, her very own pastor is her accuser. Today, her friendly neighbor is her accuser. Today, the friends she has made in the markets are condemning her, and they're all standing united against her. The sad part is that they will not just accuse her, but they will condemn her. They will not just condemn her, but they will condemn her to death. And they are so determined to see her die. They are so determined to see her die that they will do the killing themselves. And they have chosen to kill her like a dog. They have decided that they will not just see her die, but they will throw stones at her. Her face of shame will not save her. Her regret will not save her. Her face of guilt will not save her. The good deeds that she has done in the past will not save her. All of her accusers agree that what she has done is so disgusting and unacceptable. And she knows this is the end of her life. She wonders, why did I do what I did? Was it worth it? She is filled with regret, and she cannot see a way out of this. In the face of her accusers, she feels so powerless. The voices of her accusers are so loud. She is full of shame. She does not have a voice. She cannot defend herself. And she cannot see another way out of this. Today is her day to die. She has seen this before. She knows the story. She has seen another woman being stoned to death. So she knows this is the end. Today, she's going to die. And it is at this point that Jesus shows up. And I wanted to read this story, but actually I don't want to read it. I want us to just watch a clip of this popular story that we know from John chapter 8.
At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered round him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap, in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up. And said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin."
I don't want to think about that when the thought of it comes to mind, you actually want to throw it at the back of your mind, at the back of your head, just because you cannot stand the embarrassment that those things bring. I don't know if there are people here with stories that they cannot tell even their loved ones, just because it brings back the painful memory, the painful experience that they had. And that's often how we deal with regret. We want to hide it. We want to bury it. We don't want to think about it because it reminds us of the things that we did wrong. But by wanting to bury it, we're actually being eaten on the inside by regret. I don't know if there are people here who have experienced the public humiliation or shame or embarrassment. I might not know your story, but I can almost predict that before, that there was a time that you have said before, "What was I thinking?" I don't know your story, but I can almost predict that you have said these words before. "I wish I said it differently. I wish I never did that. I wish I said it. I wish I never responded to that text. I wish I never did this. I wish I did that." All of us have done things that we regret, things that have come with a lot of regret in our own lives. And some regrets are small, but some regrets are so big that they linger longer, that you are there and you are experiencing the consequences that come with that regret. And some of you have probably lost relationships because of that, or jobs, or things that at one point you did value, but because you had made a bad choice and you are living with that regret up to now, and it's eating you from the inside, and you're saying, "I wish I never did it. I wish I was in a better space. I wish I said it differently." Now, we know the reality is that it's not every bad decision that turns into a regrettable experience, because there are times when we dodge the bullet, so to say, isn't it? Like, you made a bad choice and then somehow you don't experience the consequences, you know, of the thing, you know, right there. You know, you have prayed before those prayers that, "God, please, please, if you don't bring this consequence on me, I'll never do this thing again, please." And then he doesn't, you know, and you're like, "Whew." You know, and it feels like you have dodged the bullet. But we have so many things that we have done, choices that we have made in the past that bring regret for us. Now, if you don't hear anything that I'll say today, I want you to get this. Your regret might be painful, but God's grace for you is final. Your regret might be painful, but God's grace for you is final. Your regret, your mistakes, your past sin, your bad choices might actually have the loudest voice, that they're actually eating you up from the inside. And you cannot sleep without hearing those voices of condemnation, of telling you how bad you are. Or maybe even the voice that come with the consequences that follow and just telling you of how bad you have been, of how an idiot you have been. And we can be eaten from the inside. But I want to tell you, even though those voices might be louder, but God's voice of grace will have the final say. God's voice of grace is going to have the final say. And we are seeing in this story where a woman is brought before Jesus Christ, who was caught, they say, in the act of adultery. Now she's alone. They don't bring the man, with her. So it's really strange and weird. But I'm just wondering, as they were dragging her to Jesus, what do you think is going on in her mind? What do you think is going on in her head? You know, maybe that morning, maybe she did receive a text from that guy. And she thought, okay, you know what? There's no harm to this. I know what he has done, but still I can respond to it. Maybe she's thinking, I wish I never responded to that text. You know, maybe she's saying, I wish I never lied. I wish I never did this. I wish I never did that. And she's wondering, maybe I actually deserve to die. Maybe these people are actually right. Maybe I actually deserve to die. There are all these voices around her that are accusing. And she has her accusers, the people that are dragging her to Jesus. But probably the greatest accuser is herself. You know, the loudest voice is probably coming from within. And that's what happens with us. You might not have a mob around you, but you know you have a mob on the inside. A mob that's shouting that you deserve to die. You deserve to die. So you may not have the Pharisees or the teachers of the law around you, but you have a mob on the inside. And you have lost joy. And you have lost purpose and meaning. And you're regretting your actions. But even though you regret, may be so painful, I want to tell you that God's grace has a final say. God's grace is final for you. So can your regret be fixed? And that's the question that I want to answer today. Can my regret be fixed? Can my regret be fixed? Now, when it comes to Jesus Christ, if you come into face-to-face with Jesus Christ and tell him, can you fix my regret? You have to know this reality, that Jesus Christ does not cast stones at sinners, but he forgives sinners. He does not cast stones at sinners, but he forgives the sinners. Verse 11 says, when Jesus had spoken to the woman, Jesus said, you know what? There's nobody condemning you. Then neither do I condemn you. There was only one person. When Jesus Christ said, if there is anybody here who is without sin, let them be the first one to cast a stone. There was only one person who was worthy of doing that, who was worthy of casting a stone, and that's Jesus. Because he was the only one in that room who had never sinned before. He was the only one who was worthy of casting a stone. But he says, you know what? I'm not going to cast a stone. I'm not going to cast a stone and to condemn you. So when you come to Jesus Christ, when you come to him, know that Jesus Christ will forgive your sins. Know that Jesus Christ will not cast a stone, but he will forgive your sins. But another interesting thing here is that it's not the only woman who was a sinner. It's all the other people that were sinners too. Because they were shown how sinful they were. Because Jesus Christ says to them, if there is anyone else here without sin, let them be the first one to cast a stone. And they never did cast a stone. So that tells us that they did realize that they were sinners. They did realize that they were sinners. But it's only one person who is shown grace. The other sinners came into the presence of Jesus but left condemned. While the other person came into the presence of Jesus Christ and left forgiven. You can come face to face with Jesus and you can leave condemned. But you can also come face to face with Jesus and you can leave his presence forgiven, loved by God, accepted by God, embraced by Jesus Christ. If you're willing to see the need of God in your life, if you're willing to see the need of Jesus in your life. So can Jesus fix your regret? Remember that Jesus Christ will not cast stone at sinners, but he's going to forgive sinners. Number two, can Jesus fix my regret? Jesus does not only fix, but he transforms. He does not only fix, but he transforms. Jesus Christ says to this lady, go now and live your life of sin. That's transformation. When you live your life of sin, that's transformation. Changed life. You know, so Jesus Christ says, you know what? I'm not just going to mend this to say, hey, you are sorted here. No, actually, Jesus Christ is inviting her to a better life. So, you know, live your life of sin. You know, experience a better life. Experience transformation. So regret will say, I am done. Regret will say, I'm done. But Jesus Christ will say, I'm not yet done with you yet. I'm not yet done with you. Regret will say, you are done. But Christ will say, you are not. I am not yet done with you because I'm offering you a better life. I'm offering you something amazing. So a transformed life is birthed not in condemnation, but through grace. Through grace. Now, you know, just looking at what Jesus Christ was doing here, I'm so amazed at and how much confidence Christ has in his own grace, how much confidence Christ has in his own love to transform us. Because Jesus Christ does not even scare her into obedience. You know, if it was me, probably in the position of Jesus, I would say it like, "Whew, you have dodged a bullet there, huh? But next time you probably see what's going to happen to you, eh? Just look at that stone. Imagine that falling on your head. You know, next time I'm never going to back you up again." You know, but he does not use scare tactics to make sure that this woman is going to change. He actually just loves her. And Jesus has so much faith, so much confidence in his own grace that he knows his own grace will transform you. Because we remember and we know that it is kindness that leads into repentance, not condemnation. It is kindness that leads into repentance. It's not fear. It is kindness. So Jesus Christ says, you know what, I want to transform you. But he's not going to use scare tactics to transform her. He's going to use his grace, his love. So he says, you know what, I'm going to fix this, but actually, I'm going to transform this. I'm going to transform your life. Can Jesus fix my regret? Lastly, Jesus does reveal his face to those who are broken. Jesus Christ shows his face to those who are broken. I wanted to just see this picture. Verse 10 says, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" Remember in the story, the whole time when the accusers came, Jesus Christ was not looking at them. He was looking down. He was looking down. But for this woman, Christ looks up. For this woman who is broken, who is heartbroken, who realizes my only out here is Jesus Christ, he straightens up. He looks her up in the eye and says, "Neither do I condemn you." Jesus Christ will show his face to those that are broken. Jesus Christ will show his face to those that are broken. Now, Jesus Christ has a better plan for you. You know, you might be being eaten up by regret, the things that you have done in your past. Or maybe some of you is so recent. Some of you could be yesterday. Or maybe today. You know, you let out words that you shouldn't have. Jesus Christ is inviting you right now. And if you're willing to offer your brokenness to him, he's going to look you in the face and say, "You are welcome, my daughter. You are welcome, my son. I love you and I do not condemn you." So we wanted to have that time this morning today. The time that we can give our regrets to Jesus. We can bring our regrets to God and just accept his grace and just, you know, be willing to look also for us to look him in the face and welcome his grace, that we know that even though our regrets might be painful, but we know that his grace is final. So what regrets do you have? What regrets do you have? If you're coming in here, you probably received a small piece of paper and probably with a pen as well. I want you to write what your regret is. I want you to write it down. And what we're going to do is, you will write your regret down. And what we're going to do is, we're going to have our hospitality team with those baskets again. And they will just stand here. And, you know, we're going to have a time where we can pray together. And I want you, once you have written those regrets down, then we're going to tear those regrets up. You know, we're going to tear them up and throw them into the bin together so that we can receive the grace of Jesus.
Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to the Flood Lilongwe podcast. For more sermons, visit our website at floodchurch.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Flood Lilongwe YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. Stay blessed.